भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमतीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उक्त्व श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। Hare Krishna. So today, most probably, we will be finishing chapter number 5 and last few verses. So, can somebody help me with the recitation? You can just raise your hand if you can, and then we can recite. Okay, Ojas, you can start.
Hare Krishna, Baba.
Hare Krishna. Text number 21. Bahya sparsheva saktatma.
Bahya sparsheva saktatma.
Vindati atmani yat sukham.
Vindati atmani yat sukham.
Sa brahma yoga yuktatma.
Sa brahma yoga yuktatma.
Sukham akshayam ashnute.
Sukham akshayam ashnute.
Yehi samsparshaja bhoga.
Yehi samsparshaja bhoga.
Dukha yonaya evate.
Dukha yonaya evate.
Adiyantavantah kaunteya.
Adiyantavantah kaunteya.
Nate shuramate buddhaha.
नतेषु रमते बुधा।
शक्नोति हेव यः सोढुम्।
शक्नोति हेव यः सोढुम्।
प्राक् शरीर विमोक्षणात्।
प्राक् शरीर विमोक्षणात्।
काम क्रोधद्भवं वेगम्।
काम क्रोधद्भवं वेगम्।
संयुक्तः स सुखी नरः।
संयुक्तः स सुखी नरः।
युवन्तः सुखवन्तरारामस्।
युवन्तः सुखवन्तरारामस्।
युवन्तः सुखवन्तरारामस्।
युवन्तः सुखवन्तरारामस्।
तथान्तर ज्योतिरेव यः।
तथान्तर ज्योतिरेव यः।
सयोगी ब्रह्म निर्वाणम्।
सयोगी ब्रह्म निर्वाणम्।
ब्रह्म भूतोधिगच्छति।
ब्रह्म भूतोधिगच्छति।
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा।
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा।
कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे।
कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे।
हरे राम हरे राम।
हरे राम हरे राम।
राम राम हरे हरे।
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Babaji. Hare Krishna. Text number 21. So, such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. So in the previous verses, Krishna has explained somebody who is enlightened with transcendental knowledge. So there are two types of knowledge. One is called mundane knowledge and one is called divine knowledge or transcendental knowledge. So mundane knowledge simply implicates us more and more in the laws of karma, And it is the transcendental knowledge which comes from the scriptures which actually liberates us. So transcendental knowledge is what is being spoken here by Krishna, and anybody who is enlightened with transcendental knowledge, he becomes immune to the dualities of life. He learns to see everyone equally. And here the symptoms of that person and the result of getting enlightened in knowledge have been explained. What happens when we acquire the knowledge which is coming from scriptures, which are the word of God, when we spend our valuable time hearing? So never ever think that when you attend these Gita classes, you forget whatever you've heard, you don't understand. So every word is getting registered in our subconscious mind. And whenever we need this knowledge the most, it will come to our rescue. So have no doubts about it. There are countless examples where a devotee, somehow he has a major reversal in his life, but he could not complete his devotional service, which happens to everyone, which is the most famous story of Gajendra. There was a king of Dravid Desh, South India, and he was so elevated in spiritual life. At a certain time in his life, he decided to give up everything. He went to the mountains, the Malaya hills, where Chandan is found, and he was living in a simple cottage, spending all his time in serving the Lord. One fine day, as he was meditating on the form of the Lord, he was in complete dhyana. The great sage Agastya Rishi arrived with all his disciples. So when an atithi comes, you are supposed to get up, welcome him nicely. Within our capacity, it is dharma, it is etiquette. So etiquette is a very modern word. It doesn't actually give us the deeper understanding of what it is actually. It is called dharma, it is the duty. Etiquette doesn't bind us. So it just gives an indication that if you do this, you will have this benefit. But dharma actually binds us. Everyone is bound by dharma. Dharma does not mean Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, Sikh dharma, Islam. Dharma simply means our eternal constitutional duty, our real position. And that is ultimately, eternal duty is to love God, to serve God. And this no living entity can avoid. Anybody who thinks that he doesn't need to serve God, he doesn't need to have that connection, God does not exist, defies God in any way, he's insane, he's considered insane. And when we do not stick to our dharma, when we do not perform our duties well, what happens? There is a reaction. Even on a mundane platform, when we do not perform our duties well, there is going to be a reaction. So everyone is bound by dharma, and the highest dharma is to serve God. And because from that platform, we can actually truly learn to serve others. When we develop our love for God, that's when we actually develop our love for every living entity. When we develop our devotion to God, enlightened with transcendental knowledge, that's when we learn to see everyone equally. Only on a spiritual platform, the equality is possible. Universal brotherhood is not possible unless we recognize or acknowledge our universal father, the common father. So now the symptoms of that person who is enlightened with knowledge have been explained in these verses. So let us focus. And then what is the result of that? Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Very nice points given here. So ultimately, whatever we do in this world, what is the goal? We want pleasure, we want happiness. So therefore, we keep changing positions, we keep changing situations, we keep trying to change our position on a social level, on a whatever different platforms are there on a mundane level, and we want to keep changing because we don't get happiness. Okay, this activity we want to do because the activity is not the goal. The goal is pleasure, and that particular activity, when it stops giving us happiness, we want to do something else. So we keep changing. And the nature of material world is anything which is material, it has a shelf life. Anything which is matter or material, it has a shelf life. And that means it has a beginning and it also has an end. So, a person but who is enlightened in knowledge, he understands where he can find real happiness. Because the kind of happiness we get on a material platform, I'm not saying there is no happiness, but the kind of happiness one gets on a material platform, it is temporary, it is flickering, and it is entangling. But a person who is enlightened with knowledge, who is on a spiritual platform, how he acts? He enjoys that pleasure within. How? By concentrating on the Supreme. So why am I mentioning all this? Because ultimately, what is our goal in life? Somebody says, I want to become a painter, I want to become a sports star, I want to become a businessman, I want to earn money, I want to go places all over the world, just travel. So that's not the goal. We are all lying when we say these are our goals. Our goal is happiness. If traveling doesn't give you happiness, you stop doing it. If earning money doesn't give you happiness, you stop doing it. So goal is ultimately happiness. And we are looking, we have this experience that on a material platform, our happiness, something which is the cause of happiness in the beginning, then that happiness deteriorates and it sometimes becomes the cause of our distress as well. But what kind of a happiness a person on a spiritual platform enjoys? You see, there is greater happiness on a spiritual platform. How is it that the great saints, they give up everything and they are able to live happily? Like once George Harrison, the famous Beatles, he came to India and he had so much fame and so much wealth all over the world. Even at the age of 70, he was world famous. Wherever he would go, there were lakhs of people who would wait for him. But when he came to India, he saw one sadhu walking on the street. He said, I want that thing which this person has. I want to be like him. I want to experience something which he's experienced. So with this we have to understand, happiness is the goal and spiritual life has the power to give us unlimited and everlasting and ever increasing happiness, which is also full of variety and which we can keep sharing with our loved ones. And the more we share, the more it increases and it doesn't deteriorate with time. The more we spiritualize our sense, because the senses are the ones through which we experience happiness. So one is trying to experience happiness through material senses, and then there is trying to experience happiness through spiritual senses. So happiness is there. Otherwise, how could a person continue on a spiritual path? I'm talking about the extreme part where people actually become sadhus, sannyasis. How could they continue unless there is some juice in their activity that they are doing? How could they continue if there is no happiness? Why would people who have everything in life would want to come and seek help from those who have given up everything, who don't have anything materially? Because happiness, and everybody knows money can't buy happiness, and everyone knows fame can't buy happiness. And whatever they buy, the kind of happiness, it is flickering in nature, it is entangling, and in due course it might just also become the cause of distress. So we are living in the material world and we have to deal with matter. But we have to also understand we are looking for the right thing, that is happiness, but in the wrong things. Our desire is right. Anandamayo Bhyasat. The soul is pleasure-seeking by nature. It is our nature. But we are looking for that happiness in something which is not good. Eternal spirit soul, spiritual being. Constitutionally, we are spiritual. And we are trying to find permanent happiness in things which are of temporary nature. So, person who gets enlightened in knowledge, he concentrates his mind, words, actions on the Supreme, and then he begins to experience happiness. He begins to experience higher taste. Now, when somebody experiences higher taste, he can easily give up the lower taste. So, spiritual life has the maximum potential to give us pleasure, to give us happiness that we are looking for. Why does a person concentrate on the Supreme and tries to find happiness within by focusing on his spiritual self? Because he knows an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Why? Because, O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end. And so the wise man does not delight in them. Because such pleasure, material pleasure, sense pleasures, they have a beginning and they also have an end. Somehow in Kali Yuga, people have lost their mind. And they don't even want to hear about these things. They don't want to talk about these things. And it's like, it's become a disease. People are very lazy, physically, intellectually, in every way. And they are putting too much faith in their mind. And the worst disease is even when a person is going through some trouble, he doesn't take shelter of spirituality, Krishna consciousness. And those who are fortunate, they take. But unfortunate are those who, when in distress, still they don't turn to God. The fortunate ones turn to God. Four types of people Krishna says turn to Him. So somebody who is in distress, somebody who is in need of prosperity, somebody who is inquisitive, somebody who is actually looking for the absolute truth. So one problem which I have experienced is people go too much into their shell that Prabhuji, I'm not able to chant, I can't pray because I'm going through so much. This is all, I don't want to use the word, but this is something, after a certain time, I don't want to deal with this only. Because you tell people, apply this solution, they don't apply only. And even if they do, they're like superficially doing it. Prabhuji, I'm too much bothered by my mind. 10 days later they'll come, Prabhuji, I'm too much. Are you applying this? No, I'm not able, because this is taking up too much of my energy. So, this is not done. You try it out. In fact, when you start doing it, when you start chanting, when you start hearing, and still it is not going away, that means the disease is very acute. So, you need to do it all the more. You need to increase the intensity. You need to increase the dose. It's not that a process doesn't work, it has worked on millions. It will work upon us also. We are not like exception. You've not come from, even if you come from any part of the creation, still it works. This process is universal. So this is something, some people just start taking pleasure in playing a victim card, in being a victim. They start getting some kick and they start experiencing some pleasure. And even if it will change, I'm so much in trouble and this and that. And they just keep talking about their problems and they don't want to apply the solution. So this is the most miserable situation. We have to rise above this. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. So when we are in trouble, when we don't want to do it, that's when we need to do it all the more. So this is something we cannot escape, and therefore one has to, because what is our goal ultimately, even if you're in a relationship, what is our goal? Pleasure, happiness. So if you are getting your supply of happiness from somewhere else, then you will not be affected by the apparent changing nature of this world and the people in this world, the objects of this world. Because the supply is already taken care of. That is why we need to connect to our spiritual self. Then we will not need to depend on others for attention, for affection, for love. These are the needs of the soul. because we are not experiencing it within, so we are trying to find it without. But somebody who is experiencing it within, nobody can trouble him, nobody can make him feel lonely, nobody can make him feel miserable. So the more we chant, any time in life you feel lonely or you feel depressed, one simple sutra, just pick up your beads, pick up your mala and start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with concentration, focus, and do it and just see the wonderful magic that will manifest. Immediately the Maha Mantra has the power to uplift our consciousness. So an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery. He doesn't want to find that happiness in the material things. Happiness is the goal. So happiness ke liye, you don't need to depend on things, you don't need to depend on some outside sources. You just need to connect spiritually to your spiritual self through hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, and see the wonderful magic that manifests. So it's not the situation on which our happiness is dependent. It's not even people. It's how closely, how intensely, how deeply we are connected to our spiritual self. How deeply we are finding that spiritual fulfillment. Such a person is like an ocean. You see, the ocean, during the summer season, gallons of water gets evaporated. But does the ocean get affected? No. And during the rainy season, rivers and rivers of water is poured into the ocean. Does the ocean get affected? No. Why? Because of its depth. However, if there is a puddle of water, when there is rainy season, it's filled. When there is a summer season, you can see it's dry. It's getting easily affected because there's no depth. So those people who have that spiritual depth, whose sadhana, whose spiritual practice is strong, they don't get affected by the apparent changes of this world. They remain equipoised. And this position can be reached only when we are enlightened with knowledge. And to get enlightened in knowledge, we need to attend classes, we need to hear from scriptures, and then we apply that knowledge. That increases our spiritual depth gradually. And then you'll see, you will be so much in bliss in all situations. Nobody, like the rains or the summer season, cannot affect the ocean. None of the situations of this world will be able to affect our peace. So an intelligent person understands, my goal is happiness, so let me start finding happiness in that which is of permanent nature. God is permanent, His name is permanent, His devotional service is permanent. And it's not a matter of choice. Anybody who is born as a human being, it's our duty to connect. Otherwise, we can go on saying throughout our life, oh, I'm so distressed. One excuse, I don't have time, I'm so busy. These excuses will never end. And we'll go on crying throughout our life and looking for happiness, which is right there. And we'll go all over the world looking for it, but we'll find it's right there. It's right where we started from. So anywhere you can sit and just chant Krishna's name, the most powerful way to connect. He is the storehouse of pleasure. And when we chant, immediately we are connected to the storehouse. And that supply of pleasure will start. The Maha Mantra, Krishna's names, has the potency to resolve any issue. Sit in one place, you don't have to run around. And just focus. With your tongue, chant Krishna's names. With your mind, just remember Krishna. You will see everything falling into place. Not by running around, becoming anxious. Sit in one place, remember. Remembrance of Krishna and chanting of His names, that will make things fall into place. So an intelligent person should think like that. My goal is pleasure. First of all, people are not even clear about their goal. Goal is happiness. And then an intelligent person thinks, let me not try to find it in temporary things, because situations can change any moment. Like this pandemic, and it is just the beginning. We are just at the beginning stage of Kali Yuga, and this pandemic is not even the tip of the iceberg. Much more, I mean, worse things are yet to come. So we have to understand that situation can change any moment. Some people think, oh, I don't need, I'm just happy the way I am. Why do I need spirituality? Good luck, because situations don't remain the same. And if you don't incorporate the spiritual discipline in your life, then you will bleed the most when there is a war. And inevitably, we have to fight many wars in life. So those people who don't have a strong spiritual foundation, they don't train themselves up when things are good, when they have time, energy, so still they don't do, then they bleed the most when there is an upheaval in their life. Even small things like the size of a mustard seed will appear like mountains to them. So when we have time, energy, let us not be lazy, let us not be complacent. Please let us be very, very, and you don't have to do much, like at least start spending 30, 40, 45 minutes a day on your spiritual growth, and you will see the change manifesting in your consciousness, in your life, the way you look at things. As long as we stay on the material platform is always changing, we'll be miserable. But as we raise ourselves to a spiritual platform through hearing first, then chanting, remembering, worshipping, praying to the Lord, then we actually rise above all these things. So one has to do two things. One has to tolerate the urges of the mind and the senses, because the senses want to run everywhere, senses want to try everything out, even if it is sinful. So we have to control it a little bit. We have to be very mindful, as they say nowadays, of what we are doing, thinking, sleeping, eating, the way we are earning, the way we are living our life. And why? Because we are humans. So what? So Bhagavatam excellent tapo devyam putraka, that human life is meant for some sort of regulation. It's not to be lived like whatever makes you feel happy, or whatever makes him or her feel happy, my children, okay, please have it. Please do it, even if it is sinful. If something is sinful, we must put our foot down. We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't allow others, or those who are near and dear to us, to do it. Because that's real. That's being a real friend. That's being a real well-wisher. It's no, usko achha nahi lage. But if whatever is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. And right is right, even if no one does it. So, because if we do something which is not right, it may give us pleasure, flickering pleasure. I was analyzing yesterday that when people do something which is sinful, the pleasure that they get is, it could be in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, whatever, in their lifestyle. The pleasure they get is small, but the reaction is long-lasting. Reaction is long-lasting. Like a person may steal. Not to steal, he may just take half an hour. But then he has to stay behind the bars maybe for 3 days, or 3 months, or 3 years, if the theft is serious. Just see the amount of effort we have to. So why not just do those things which are right? Why not do those things which will give us permanent benefits? Because material benefits, how much ever we acquire, will be finished with this body. But the spiritual credits that we acquire, they go with the soul. They are never lost. So this is called intelligence. Krishna is encouraging us to cultivate intelligence. We have to be intelligent. Intelligence means discriminate between what is right, what is wrong, what is long-lasting, what will give maximum benefit in the long run. So before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of material senses and check the forces of desire and anger, he is well situated and happy in this world. So people think by being independent they will be happy. Oh no, we don't want any regulation. But that's just the beginning. But those who have some regulation, in the long run they enjoy. Now, simple example. Those who have unregulated eating habits, they may be enjoying, but what happens later on? I want to ask all of you, somebody can answer. People who have unregulated eating, they don't want regulation, they just want to go on eating. What happens to them? And those who have regulation in their life, so out of the two, who becomes happy in the long run? Who is happier in the long run? Who enjoys the most in the long run? Who wants to answer? Huh? Don't just say, just raise your hand. Please. Who wants to answer? Okay. Nobody? हाँ जी शक्ति जी बोलिए देन रंजनी जी यू कैन स्पीक
प्रभु जी द पर्सन हु इज रनिंग अकॉर्डिंग टू द रूल्स ही इज हैविंग अ प्रॉपर रेगुलेशन इन हिज लाइफ दे आर द मोस्ट सक्सेसफुल पर्सन अप टिल नाउ
या सो अप टिल नाउ और आगे भी होगा एंड इम्पोर्टेंट थिंग इज जस्ट लाइक हु इज एट अ ग्रेटर रिस्क समबडी who wants to just drive full speed on a highway without caring for the speed limit or somebody who follows the speed limit who stops at the signal so stopping at the signal could be just 2 minutes but if somebody breaks the signal so it's an austerity for 2 minutes but somebody who breaks the signal it will be an austerity pleasure for a few moments a few seconds he breaks the signal but then there will be pain for a longer time so compared to the amount of effort we have to put in to indulge our senses in wrong things senses see as long as we have body senses need some enjoyment so that is not forbidden but at least we should be intelligent enough to avoid things which are not good because otherwise we are creating a miserable future for us and our near and dear ones or everyone has to go through is if we are not good in our habits of eating sleeping mating and everything so one has to tolerate the yes the tongue wants to eat everything our friends are eating tongue want eyes want to see ears want to hear and we want to engage in activities our the whole society is in so, but that's what we need to tolerate because human life is meant for tolerance of these urges and anybody who can do that he'll be happy the to the degree we are strict to ourselves to that very degree we become happy in the beginning there may be some austerity but eventually you will experience the greatest happiness and to the degree we are lenient to ourselves complacent to that very degree we are putting ourselves in danger so only a person who can tolerate the urges he is well situated and is happy in the world so some degree of regulation tolerance we have to control we have to do austerity we have to do one whose happiness is within and who is active rejoices within so and whose aim is inward is actually the perfect mystic he is liberated in the supreme and ultimately he attains the supreme so such a person who is enjoying his happiness within who is making himself or going deeper trying to connect to his spiritual self and make trying to raise himself to a spiritual platform through knowledge and application of that knowledge that person is the perfect candidate for liberation which is the goal of human life he attains the supreme he attains the supreme lord Now the last few verses I want somebody to chant with me. Navita ji, you had raised hand. You want to chant?
Ji, Prabhu ji.
Okay. Text 25. Labhante.
Prabhu ji.
Yeah.
One second. I just see your screen. I'm out. It's okay. Not coming on my screen. So, yeah, it's coming.
Okay. Labhante Brahma Nirvanam. ऋषयः क्षीणकल्मषः छिन्नद्वैधायतात्मानः सर्वभूतहिते रतः कामक्रोधविमुक्तानाम् यतीनां यतचेतसाम् अभीतो ब्रह्म निर्वाणम् वर्तते विदितात्मनाम्
वर्तते विदितात्मना
स्पर्शान् कृत्वा बहिर्बाह्यां चक्षुश्चैवान्तरे भ्रुवः प्राणापानौ समौ कृत्वा नाशाभ्यन्तरचारिणौ यतेन्द्रियमनोबुद्धिर् मुनिर्मोक्ष परायणः विगतेच्छा भयक्रोधो यः सदा मुक्त एव सः भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसाम्
भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसाम्
सर्वलोकमहेश्वरम्
सर्वलोकमहेश्वरम्
सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां
सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां
ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति
ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा
कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे
कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे
हरे राम हरे राम
हरे राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे
राम राम हरे हरे
Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined and constantly endeavoring for perfection are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. So why do we need to control these things? A little bit of regulation in life to control our material desires, anger. So self-discipline kyun zaruri hai thoda life mein? And not going with the demands of the mind, whims and fancies of the mind. Because such a person then is assured of perfection, liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. So thoda sa ye zaruri hai. But all this restraint of senses, mind, should be based on Shastra. Not just for, some people do it just to maintain their body, which is also important. But this kind of restraint which is being spoken about here, is for spiritual upliftment, our spiritual growth based on Shastra. So we withdraw our mind and senses from sense objects. And there are two paths which Krishna discusses in the next three verses to do this. So what is happening? Initially Krishna explained in text number 17th or 18th how a person who is enlightened with knowledge develops equal vision and then he learns to see everyone equally. He has an equal vision, he becomes free from duality and this person ke then he continued to speak about his symptoms and such a person becomes qualified for liberation. And so after enlightened in knowledge, now application of knowledge is being spoken about. So there are two ways to achieve this perfection, to achieve these platforms which Krishna is talking about, which can actually free us from doubts and raise us to the spiritual platform and make us really happy, take us towards liberation. So there are two paths for liberation which are explained here. In text number 27 and 28, Krishna introduces the process of Dhyana Yoga. And in text 29, he introduces the process of Bhakti Yoga. So there are two paths he talks about to attain liberation. Or which you can say this is the application of the knowledge which is acquired, which gives us equal vision. Because simply getting knowledge is not enough. When we apply it, then we get actually realizations, and that realization increases our faith. So this is the application. After attaining knowledge, then there are two paths for getting liberated. One is the process of Dhyana Yoga. What is that? Shutting out all external senses, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses and intelligence. The transcendentalist become aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, free and anger, fear and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. So this is the process of Dhyana Yoga which Krishna has introduced, the first path. And next one is the path of Bhakti Yoga, where one acknowledges and understands Krishna's position as the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices, austerities, supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. And thus he engages in his devotional service, and such a person can also receive peace from pangs of material miseries. So he introduced these two paths here at the end of fifth chapter. And so the process of Dhyana Yoga is next. Next chapter, sixth chapter itself, is called Dhyana Yoga. So the path which Krishna has recommended here to attain perfection, liberation, Dhyana Yoga in 27th and 28th verse, it is described in chapter number 6. And then Bhakti Yoga, which is introduced in the last verse, Krishna explains in chapter number 7 through 12. So because this is the essence of the Gita, therefore for Bhakti Yoga, Krishna gives 6 full chapters, and they are in the middle, they are considered the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. So by introducing these two paths, now Krishna will explain them in great detail. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here.